Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hello, Les Hangout listeners, and welcome to our new hiatus episodes. So while we're on hiatus, we decided to spread the love and share with you some of our favorite podcast episodes from some of our favorite shows so that on our off season, you're still going to hear episodes on our feed. We're supporting other queer shows, and hopefully you'll discover something new that you like as well. So today we're here to share with you She Nerds Out podcast, Girls That Like Girls and Nerdy Things. We love it. Kat, Tara, and Wendy talk all things queer. They've had some incredible guests over the years from Kat Burrell and Amy Acker. And this episode that we're sharing with you is with Lucy Lawless. I wish Lee was here to do this intro with me because she would be freaking out. Xena was her queer awakening. So to have an episode where some people that we like are interviewing Lucy freaking Lawless is so cool. So we hope you enjoy it. Lucy Lawless joins the podcast for a look back at Xena as part of their 25th anniversary celebration of Xena. Enjoy.
Strong women, badass gals. Some of them are more than pals.
Our show can be a little gay,
but if you're not,
that's okay.
You can listen and have fun
either way.
Xena, Star Wars, Doctor Who, guests and music and reviews. Game of Thrones, Wynonna too. So promise there's something for you.
She Nerds Out. We're girls that like girls that like nerdy things.
Hello and welcome to the She Nerds Out podcast. I'm Kat.
I'm Wendy.
And I'm Tara.
On today's episode, we are talking to Lucy Lawless.
What?
We have some nerd news. We'll also be talking to Lucy Lawless.
Is that a mean joke?
We're going to be talking a little bit about Wynonna Earp, but also we'll be talking with Lucy Lawless.
Kat, I'm going to call you a liar. That can't be possible.
Guys, it's true.
We can't be that lucky to be blessed by her presence.
It's all true. It's happening. Oh, it's all happening.
Wow.
Yeah. So be cool, guys. Be cool.
Oh, God. Oh. We're always cool. Be cool.
But first, we have some listener mail.
What?
Yeah. We love mail. You've got mail.
Yay.
All right. This one is from Laura, and she wrote us to say, just wanted to say, I love your podcast. Every episode is a great, fun, informative listen. Who knew we could be informative? Wow, that's shocking. Okay. Congrats on being number 3 in Portugal. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Yeah. I found your podcast during this pandemic time, and it's been comforting walking around listening to friends talk about the stuff I love. And I can't believe y'all talk about Hallmark movies. Paul Campbell interview was so frackin' awesome. Oh, she's a Battlestar fan too.
Frackin'.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. And I have been a fan of Paul since Window Wonderland. Ooh, a big Hallmark fan. Love it. And a fan of Kimberly Susted since she played the gay sister in Hallmark's A Bride for Christmas. Pretty sure she was the first Hallmark gay character. So having her star in the movie with the first gay kiss to me was a nice full circle. I feel a kinship with y'all being a nerd, gay, Texan, and being close to Studio City.
What?
Neighbors. And Shoot. Thanks for talking about Shoot Week. That is Shaw and Root from Person of Interest. Y'all sound so cool, but I gotta admit, Wendy sounds the coolest.
What?
Being a Shoot fan and a Hallmarky. For Wendy, if she's ever bored, my friends and I made this low-tech, extremely dorky podcast. We feel you. We're right there with you. For fun to celebrate.
We have one of those.
Shoot Secret Santa. And then she gives us the address. I'm excited to catch up on all your older episodes. An interview with Missy Good. Wow. I still got my hard copy of Tropical Storm.
Tropical Storm.
Y'all are awesome. Hope y'all are number 3 in North America and Portugal soon. Take care, Laura. Oh, wow.
When
She's local.
Wendy, did you write this email?
Yeah.
Wait, you would think.
This came from W. Woody.
Wait a minute.
Well, here's a fun thing. So I wrote Laura because I started listening to their podcast, which was amazing. It was like the shoot content that I could listen to and feel like, oh, yeah, I totally know everything they're talking about because they're big fans like me. They talked to some people in the shoot fandom that I was familiar with. And so I emailed to say that I've been listening. And we were corresponding and came to find out we are almost the same person as we even went to the same college.
Whoa.
From Texas. And yeah, awesome. So that's fun. No, very nerdy, which is, I'm saying, is a good thing. Shoot fan, total shoot fan. So it's nice to have another shoot fan to talk shoot with because, you know,
when did you. You're not going to leave us for Laura's podcast, are you?
Probably not.
Okay.
Maybe I can be a guest shoot commentator every once in a while.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. You know. And that's the thing I know.
I didn't realize that Kimberly Sustad had played the gay character in another Hallmark movie that I didn't know
it.
That happened.
It was very cute. It was a cute movie. It was, I forgot what it was called. The Last Bride for Christmas. I can't remember the name of it.
A Bride for Christmas.
A Bride for Christmas. It's right there in the email, huh? No, it was Kimberly says it was from 2012, and it was really, and so Kimberly's good as always and everything, but I think that the gayness of the character extended to saying I'm gay like twice and, to a couple of different people. And then she went on a date. Of course, she didn't see who she went on the date with, but it's a cute movie. So
I'm shocked by that we didn't hear more.
2012, too. That's a while ago.
Wow.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. So thanks, Laura, for the email, and catch you on the other email.
Yes.
Shout out.
Thank you, Laura. And let's plug her podcast. What's the name of it?
Yeah.
Shoot Secret Santa. Find SoundCloud. Shoot Secret Santa on SoundCloud.
Perfect. Great. There it is. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for emailing us. Keep that coming. And now, nerd news.
Nerd news.
And you're like eating something this time, Wendy. That was... What was that?
It's an ice cube.
You couldn't even spit the ice out. Not only did you not record
a surprise.
Wendy, do not pull this with Lucy Lawless, okay?
No, that's why I'm getting all out of my system now.
Spit those ice cubes on the floor.
No, I'm getting all this shenanigans out of the way. I'll be very professional. Probably.
Oh, probably.
What does that look like?
I have no doubt. Yeah, right? Oh. First time for everything. Ayo.
Hey, don't forget, I am the coolest, so stop.
That's true. Yeah.
Laura, what did she give you?
Yeah.
What did she have for you?
All right. Am I first? The trailer for the movie, am I saying this right? Ammonite trailer with Kate Winslet and Saoirse
Ronan?
Saoirse Ronan.
Rhymes with inertia.
Yes, the only reason I know that is because
that.
Named the title of that episode, Saoirse Rhymes with Inertia. That's right. The only way I'll remember it.
Yes.
Well, if you haven't watched it, it's about a relationship between these two women in 1840s England, where paleontologist Mary Anning, a.k.a. Kate Winslet, hunts for fossils along the beach. And I like how they term that... melancholia is the term referred to the deeply rooted effects of patriarchal oppression. Like when you're sad as a woman, you know, or you can't be with the woman that you really want to be with, they say, oh, she's just got the melancholia, I guess.
Haven't we all had that at some point?
Yes. Melancholia. So a young woman is a young married woman is sent to, you know, hang out with Mary.
Her husband.
Oh, but yes, by her husband.
It is her husband that sends her.
Yeah, she's supposed to hang out with Mary in hopes of curing her melancholia. And cure it, she does. It describes the footage from this first trailer as a rush of dizzying snapshots of romance, the female gaze, which we all know and love, and connection. So,
a lot of gazing.
Know, they bond, they look at each other, they walk along the beach, they dig up fossils. And they find love. I'm guessing it probably won't have a happy ending back in 1840s England, but I don't know. You never know. It's supposed to come out November 13th in some format. You know, I don't know what the theater situation will be then, but That's the plan. But I mean, it's Kate Winslet who is always awesome.
Yeah. And so is Saoirse.
Yeah.
It did give me a lot of Portrait of a Lady on Fire vibes.
A lot.
There's a lot of parallels there.
Yes. It's Portrait of a Lady, but with dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
Yes. It kind of looks like the reboot of Portrait of a Lady, but I'm not judging. I'm just, you know.
Dinosaur bones of a lady on fire.
On fire. There it is.
Yep. Okay. I'm fine with it. Here's the thing.
I'm sure I will see this. Kate Winslet, of course, is a big reason. And, you know, because it is what it is. But it kind of makes me look forward to, like, a good snappy dialogue, modern, like, a, I don't know, like a good
like
banter
a Christmas
back
movie.
And forth. like the one that's coming out with our girl, Mackenzie Davis. And
And, forget the name of that.
Kristen Stewart.
Yes.
Something
seasoned. But they're already together. But I like the whole idea of, like, maybe, you know, the snappy banter. They maybe don't even like each other at first. And then they come to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of the long, quiet
a romantic
gazes,
comedy. Yeah. Okay. Romantic comedy is what we want.
A little lighter.
Because, you know, lesbians like that kind of stuff, too. We don't all need to suffer from melancholia after we watch lesbian films because they are so effing depressing.
Yes. Yeah. I think we've suffered enough.
Yes.
But I'm sure it's very good. You know, well, we'll check it out, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So, November 13th, which feels like a really long way.
Yeah.
So did September, and it's almost here. Actually, it is here.
It is. That's right. Absolutely. All right. Well, Tim Rozon, who plays Doc Holliday on Wynonna Earp, he's got a new show coming out on Sci-Fi.
That dude's busy.
He is the busiest man in Canada. He really
like
is.
Kind of the go-to sci-fi dude.
Sci-fi, yes. Yeah, I love him.
He's their guy. The show is called The Surrealtor and also is starring Sarah Levy, who I love from Schitt's Creek. She plays, what's her name?
Haven't watched it.
It's kind of a funny name.
It's a
Twyla.
Name.
Twyla.
Oh, that's Twyla. Oh,
Twyla.
Twyla. Okay.
Twyla's great.
Yes.
Also, Savannah Baisley or Bosley, don't know. She plays Chloe on Wynonna Earp.
Cleo?
She plays the magistrate. Yeah,
is it Cleo?
It's Cleo. Chloe?
Did I say Chloe?
It's Cleo. You got like
get out of our systems before Lucy. I like her. She's cool.
She's great. So the show is. It sounds like it's sort of a paranormal kind of a fun. I'm guessing it's gonna be a little lighter, but it looks like it's a lot
of
fun.
It's a real estate X-Files.
That's right. That's exactly it. So Tim plays Nick Roman. He heads this real estate agency that is known to be able to sell houses that are haunted. And it sounds like they, like, his team take care of the poltergeist and the haunting so that they can then sell the house. So it sounds like it's probably going to be a lot of fun. I love paranormal stuff, so I'm definitely going to watch it. And it starts filming in a couple of weeks, September 15th, in Newfoundland, Canada.
Newfoundland.
Wow. So there you have it.
Yeah, and then...
Not going to get much of a break.
No, not at all.
Just wrapping up.
That's right.
What's her name? Levy?
Sarah Levy,
and she plays the... Of course, skeptical realtor.
She's the Scully.
The X-Files-ness. Yes.
Yes, she's the Scully to Tim's Mulder.
Yeah. Oh, I'm checking it out. It sounds intriguing to me, too.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see the tone and see what it's like.
Yeah. I'm a big Rozon fan, so.
Yes. Me too now. He's cool. All right. Looking forward to it.
Well, on a more somber note, we lost someone this week that was... an icon in the Marvel universe, Chadwick Boseman, star of Black Panther, passed away this week from colon cancer, and he was 43, which was very shocking to most everyone. I was very shocked because he did not put it out there that he had cancer, that he, and especially not that he had it as severe as he apparently did, that he had been fighting cancer since 2016. And so all through, you know, after his first appearance in a Marvel movie was back in Captain America Civil War, which was back in 2016. So I guess shortly after that, it would have been, because he probably filmed that in 2015.
That's crazy.
So then all the subsequent times we saw him, he was fighting colon cancer. So it's, you know, it puts things in a whole new perspective, especially when you watch his movies, and it's just kind of something that feels still surreal. that yeah. just you can't believe it. Of course, he played T'Challa in Black Panther, The King, and in a couple other Marvel movies. He mm-hmm. was in there in this last one, Infinity War and That's Endgame. Right. I believe it was just Endgame, actually. Yeah, he was also in a Jackie Robinson.
Yeah,
that's right. 42.
Yeah, he was in his biopic, and he's had a lot of iconic roles, and he also played James Brown on Get On Up, and it it's just a lot of iconic roles he's had, and this is just a big blow for a lot of people, and this it's tough when it's so shocking too that you see somebody that looks like him and he's so healthy and he's doing all these amazing things. Crazy. And they think, oh my God, what he's going through. So we just want to say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman, and shout out to all of his fans and family, that are feeling the effects of this. And it's just tragic.
It I feel is. Like any year this would have been tough. And yeah. this year, it's another thing. And just this, with everything going on with the race relations and all of that being in the news. And then, this for Malik, I didn't really know a whole lot about him till some of the things that have come out since he passed away. And just mm-hmm. he seemed like an amazing guy, and talked about his working with terminally ill kids with cancer. And he just seemed like a good, perfect actor to be Black Panther and embodied that and being a hero in real life. And then just to have that someone that was so, looked up to and portray that character just gone. With no one even knowing he was sick is insane.
It's tragic. It's insane. And the tributes very quickly started coming in, mostly on Twitter when I saw it. He was an icon, and especially to the Black community. He meant so much. And, we say it all the time, representation matters. And he, he embodied that character of Black Panther. And it's just... And like, as you say, Terry, he just seemed like a nice dude. He was just mm-hmm. a nice guy, and people liked him a lot. And mm-hmm. it's just really sad. We our heart goes out to his fans and his family.
Definitely.
Well,
wow.
Guys, what we do here is give people a little bit of an escape.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to continue to do that. We're going to get in the truck.
Yep.
And we're going to purgatory.
All right.
She Nerds Out presents Live from Purgatory.
All right, first up, I wanted to cover some stuff that we didn't kind of catch the first time around in 405.
We missed things?
I know, it's weird. Holy War, not Homecoming, Holy War.
First being the title.
Part one. That scene on the porch... after the fire with Doc and Rachel and Winona and Waverly and Nicole. It's the perfect scene.
It's so good.
I love it. The dialogue's incredible. Everyone's performances, the delivery. Winona makes a joke about, hard wood, strong wood. Yes. And she says, that's what I used to call my last boyfriend. And she immediately corrects herself. Inappropriate. And Rachel says, because he died or because he was Waverly's angel dad? And she says, yes. She immediately, it's like she's growing. She regrets having said something. Just such a great, that whole scene is just perfect. I love that Doc got really flustered with Eamon was flirting with Winona. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. That was fun. And Jeremy... I feel like Jeremy was a second place for MVP that really kind of just, I missed this the first time around. His performance is so great. Wendy, he makes a Star Wars reference.
I know. How did we miss Dagobah? There was a lot to keep up with. Yes.
Yes.
Dagobah reference.
Nicole pukes one of the many times, and he says, looks like she puked the Dagobah system.
And he's not wrong.
He's not. And then when Nicole first mentions getting the handcuffs from upstairs, he coughs. As in, like, guys, please stop talking about sex in front of me. And then we see at the end, Nedley apparently is the bartender now at Shorty's, which is awesome. It's the perfect retirement job.
I feel like it's perfect, yes.
Great episode. Anything else that you guys missed the first time around?
I maybe put something together, but I don't want to share it because I don't want to.
Oh.
Maybe I don't want to be right and, spoil it. I don't know. I have thoughts on...
on something. I'm going to leave it vague.
Interesting.
Okay. That's pretty vague when you don't even see what it's about.
There's something I realized.
Do you think
that's the whole thing?
Do you think you talked about it in our 606 recap?
You mean 605? Wait, 606
is tonight.
It is. So this episode is being this episode is being recorded on Sunday afternoon.
That's true.
Oh, on Sunday, not forget I've already seen.
On Sunday night, we record our post watch, which airs on Monday, and the episode that we're recording now is on Tuesday. So we are going to go back in time.
Yes, I do.
I feel like a time traveler.
Yes, I feel like if you go back and watch last night's or Sunday's episode, that maybe you'll see some of what I'm talking about, and maybe if you listen to the podcast yesterday,
you already know
out if it did or didn't. Teaser: like if you missed the Winona recap, go listen to it.
It's so hard to keep up. interesting. Okay, let's revisit this, and we would have already revisited. Okay, it's confusing enough. It's confusing enough.
Where are we?
I don't know. Okay, so the teaser for the back half of season 4 came out. It's short and very cryptic.
But effective. I liked it.
It is. So there's some things that I noticed. I think everybody else did.
I think the
biggest thing is Waverly gets a haircut.
Mm-hmm. I like that haircut.
She looks great.
Do you think like a demon did it, or do you think she just like went out to get a new bob cut?
Oh, like the whole like Gabrielle.
Right.
There's some sort of need to cut her hair to free her for something.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm guessing might happen.
Okay, I'll buy that.
But I feel don't like them going out for a haircut in the midst of all this.
No.
Yeah. Unless it was like an act of defiance, but you know what? Yeah. We'll see.
Okay. Does that kind of go with what? Oh, okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
What else? You noticed something, Wendy, right? When you watched it?
Finally, that Winona's got Peacemaker. I watched it twice, and she even says something about big-ass gun or something to that effect. I watched it on my phone, in my defense. It was small. And then I watched it big today, and I was like, oh, look at that. She's got Peacemaker. And she even sings about it.
Yay. Peacemaker is back.
At least what I presume is Peacemaker. It sure looks like it.
It looks like
it. I assume it is. And it's in gun form, not sword form. Sword form.
Maybe it can go like back and forth. Maybe she can be like
would be cool.
Sword. For something more creative.
Totally.
It's sword time.
Is that a Power Ranger reference?
Kinda, yeah.
I like that.
The Winona jokes that could come from having a gun and sword that go back and forth. I don't know. Sure. I feel like there's comedy gold to be mined.
It goes
both ways. My
brain's
not clever enough to think about it. Yeah.
It goes both ways. There's also some weird, creepy scarecrow type creature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
Tara did not like that. And then we see Rachel wearing Waverly's old shorties uniform, which is really kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that she's going through all their clothes.
Yeah.
Or I wonder if she has a job at Shorty's.
I love that Shorty's is like the go-to job. Over there,
right?
Like they always have a place to work at Shorty's. Is it the only bar in town? Well, there's
like
a glory hole.
Glory hole.
Yeah,
and I think the biggest bit of information is that the series will continue. The season will continue airing in 2021.
Good lord, why?
You had longer waits.
We have.
That doesn't make it right, Wendy.
No, I'm not saying it makes it right. Just enjoy the anticipation. Enjoy the speculation.
I enjoyed it for 2 years. You better not make me wait till 2021 and then not give us season 5.
They don't even speculate when in 2021. It could be July of 2021.
I'm just trying to prepare you.
Well, I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's terrible. No.
No, no, no. Tara, I don't think that's going to... They can't wait till... That doesn't make sense.
I feel like it's going to be a mid-season, like January, February. That's what I would imagine. But
I think January. I say
season 5.
Yes.
Let's hope, yeah.
Absolutely. And Kat Burrell, friend of the Snop, she released a little video on Twitter the other day, which doesn't really... Who cares what she's talking about? But... most importantly, it's not important. She says, we're going into the last 2 weeks of shooting. So starting Monday, which was yesterday, they're almost done. They're 2 weeks away from wrapping up. And this is weird, right? Because unless they know that they have a season 5 and they're not telling people, they don't know if this is the end, the last time they're going to see the crew. Like, do you say goodbye for good? It just seems to be they're in limbo, and that's not, I can't imagine that's very, it doesn't sound like any fun.
No, but I feel like it's not uncommon with shows.
Fair.
I wonder if they're taking that into account when they wrap up season 4.
I hope so, that they don't leave it on some crazy cliffhanger.
Yeah, like
maybe they'll give us
Waverly in the Garden.
I'm not even going to talk like that. I'm just going
to
stop.
No, they've got to have a 5. I feel like sci-fi owes it to them to like give them, just for their own sake of re-airing and streaming and all that stuff.
Right.
Like nowadays, you've got to let a season wrap up, either with a movie or another, even a shortened season.
Right.
You've got to give them that time to have closure. Because nobody, a show, a series has no closure,
right?
People are going to be less inclined to want to watch it.
And, you know, the ERPers, the sci-fi has completely embraced the fandom. Yeah. And, you know, I think if they say, look, guys, we don't want a full season, but come back, finish up your series. If they don't do that, and this is the end, they will lose a lot of viewers. They will lose a lot of sci-fi network viewers. Yeah.
There'll be billboards and Times Square.
And here's the thing. There are a lot of shows on network TV that, you know, that come and go and people watch and they enjoy. And then they're like, oh, it ended. Okay, well, that's too bad. And they watch something else. But I think with especially genre shows and then also non-genre shows, but some shows really just have this passionate following that they are so invested in the story and the characters that just to stop it is almost cruel. Like you just can't, it's a betrayal of the audience with shows like this that they're so passionate about.
And with Wynonna, it's not like we have a lot of similar alternatives, like with a show on, ABC or CBS or a lot of, or reality shows, you always have another one that's pretty similar to it a crime show, a medical drama, it's that sort of thing. But with Wynonna, even on sci-fi, there's very little. What other, female main character leads with also lesbian or representation? There's nothing like that really out there. Not a lot. So to take that away, it would just really be leaving behind a lot of people.
It would be. And remember, Emily has a deal with sci-fi. Remember Axe Holes? That show, I'm sure, is in development, if not, kind of ready to roll if and when Wynonna goes away. They don't want to piss her off. They don't want to piss off a content creator. So hopefully we get a full season 5 and, that's it. Like, give us fucking 5. Like, come on, man.
They would be a bunch of axe holes if they didn't give us 5.
That's right.
That's probably the nicest thing they'd be called.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right, guys.
What now, guys?
Well, I don't know. Should we just call it a day? Or
you want to, like, maybe we could call up a friend.
Oh.
Oh.
You know anybody?
Who you want to talk to?
I know this. Yeah. Her name's Lucy. She's pretty cool.
Hmm.
She's from New Zealand. She has a nice accent.
Oh.
Yeah. You might recognize her.
Oh, okay.
Been on TV and stuff.
Yeah. She's kind of a legend and an icon.
Oh.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
The amazing Lucy Lawless, of course, from Xena Warrior Princess, the show that brought the three of us together.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we have many nerdy things in common, that is the glue that brought us all together and changed all of our lives in a
definitely
bunch of different ways. And it is really exciting. I feel like for me, it's like full circle. You know, when I first went to a Xena convention and I grew up watching Xena when I'm a little bit younger. So I was about 11, 12 when it was first on. And I remember it so vividly and thinking, oh, wow, it gave me feelings I had never felt before. So their relationship. And, it was just such a cool thing to see on TV. There was really nothing else like it especially when it first came on. And going to the Xena convention, which
you know, I thought at the time, why am I doing this? I don't know. But I was like, I got to go to that Xena convention in Los Angeles. So I went out to the Xena convention and, yeah, met a bunch of awesome people and that are still my friends to this day. And the rest is history. And this is a big moment for me. And I'm really excited about this. But I'm going to be cool, guys. I'm going to be cool. It's fine. I can appreciate her still.
Of course. Of course. God, I really hope she shows up now. Well, I mean, that kind of says it all. I think let's go talk to Lucy Lawless. It is a huge honor to welcome our next guest onto the podcast. She needs no introduction, so I'm not going to give her one. Lucy Lawless, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there, everybody.
Lucy is visiting us from the future in New Zealand.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm 19 years in the future. It's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're watching with such heavy heart, watching our beloved America flip and decompose. And I hope something beautiful can rise from this, you know, but it's very, just really scary and sad, like terribly, terribly, profoundly sad making. Yeah.
Well, hopefully in November, if you know what I mean, we'll turn a corner.
If you're listening to this podcast, make sure to vote.
Vote.
If you live in America.
Please. Oh my God. Please vote.
Please vote.
Well, like Kat said, we are going to be looking back. And I know, again, you get asked a lot about Xena back in the day. And we're going to try not to cover the things that come up all the time. But here's the way we feel. You and I are the same age, Lucy. So I feel like, and all of us went through Xena together at the same time on opposite sides of the screen, so to speak. But it's a shared experience for all of us. Yours is a little different than ours, granted. But, you know, it changed your life. It changed our lives. The three of us would not be sitting here doing this today were it not for meeting through the show. And literally, same. Like half my friends are from the conventions back in the day and the show. Wow. So, it's this cool thing that we all went through at the same time. And given the effect it had on us and you and so much of the world, do you think it was just like, hey, I got lucky and got this good part? Or do you think there was some sort of destiny at work, some sort of fate, some sort of like, how do you look at it?
Oh, that's, you know what? I never would have seen, I've always seen it as I just got lucky. But now that I'm older and you start seeing the patterning in your lives, you go, oh my God, that maybe there was it was certainly a synergy there, you know, that with my history and my nervous system and have the luck of having the right co-star and the right writers, just the whole team that came on to make it, was there was something magical about it, and it affected people's lives almost entirely positively, you know, I think, you know, which is such a pleasure and an honor to have been part of something that had legs in the community, you know, and what good things the fans went out and did. Mm-hmm.
Right. A lot of good came from that. It's great.
Crazy good. So maybe there is such a thing as fate and destiny.
I think so. That's my personal take on it, that we all found it for a reason and it found you for a reason. And like you said, and Renee, I mean, that's sometimes you get a good cast, you make a nice show, you go your separate ways. Sometimes you get the perfect combination and it just
makes something, maybe greater than the sum of its parts. Had a lot of great parts, then the fans took it, I hate to use the term, next level. That sort of thing didn't exist back in those days. But they took it somewhere that no show could go on its own, you know? Mm.
Yeah. Well, and I think it helped too. Like the internet was just starting to grow. So that helped transport it to, like you said, next level.
Yes.
And we all found each other.
They were so computer literate to our fans. They were very right bang in the middle of the 90s, they were, before MySpace, they were on it.
And we know that, you know, Mary D. I mean, Mary D, you know, her website, and we just actually talked to her last week. Her website was the hub. That's where all the Xenites could go and kind of, you know, start that community. And so it really was the perfect storm of this great genre show, fans ready to become part of a fandom, and the internet made it actually possible.
Yeah, yeah. And then incredible dedication from people like her and you and loads of them out there. Yeah, incredible.
Did you ever have a moment? I was actually watching one of the episodes the other day, Liar Liar, where you guys, one of the musicals you did. And did you ever, you probably had many moments where you just stopped and looked around at what you guys were doing. I was thinking of the moment at the stage where, like, you're playing this Greek warrior princess, but next thing you know, you're pregnant, singing on a stage as a rock band. Renee's coming out in white fringe dancing. Did you ever have those moments where you just thought, what is my life? And it's like, I appreciate it and wonder what is happening all at the same time.
All of that. I was very aware that this was a precious confluence of events. And I think we were all pretty grateful. We knew that we were lucky. And we rocked it, really. Do you know what? I found that outfit the other day, the bikini. The thing that must have been Renee's doubles bikini, which, because I could never have fit it into Renee's, but her double was bigger than her, I think. And so maybe it was on Ted. Did Ted wear that? I can't remember. But anyway, I found it. I was looking for something completely other. I found all these old costumes, things I used to wear at the Roxy to those shows, Kat.
And, awesome.
I had no idea where they were, and suddenly they're beautifully boxed up. And
wow.
Anyway, it sort of took me back and made me go, oh, my God, how time has flown. And
did you try any of them on or just looked at them?
No.
Did you do a fashion show?
I must say, I thought it would probably be really inappropriate for me to put any of these on these days. I'm like 52 or 51. Anyway, I'm over 50. And you go, who wants to see that? I'm not sure if you want to see that.
No, don't be so sure.
Yeah.
So you guys made 134 episodes of that show. It was 6 seasons.
Doesn't sound like very many, but it was.
I'm sure it felt like it was. Does it all kind of just melt, that period of your life, does it all kind of melt together? Does each season feel like a very specific, oh, this was the season that I was going through this? Like, when you think back on that time.
Used to, okay. But I've kind of forgotten it as I forget the traumas or the, just becomes a, just this lovely little jewel box, you know, that I can open up and look at every now and again. That's what those episodes are, because I don't really remember the stories, but I remember what was happening on set that day or, what was going on in relationships or something. So, Liar, Liar. I wouldn't have remembered what that was until you said about the beaded bikini. That was like, oh, yes, that's right. the comedies were always joyful, as you would expect, but they're so much more fun to shoot. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily as rewarding, though, but more fun. Right.
And so Xena is obviously a very strong character. Is there any characters you see on TV now or anything in a show where you think, they stole that from Xena? I did that first. And you just...
You know what? On the rare occasions when I've thought anything like that, my next thought is, we didn't do it first. There was the Avengers. There was Joan of Arc, for God's sake. There's nothing new under the sun. But we were the first for a long time and in a certain earthy tone, you know, that women had to be mincingly beautiful to be in action up until that time. And now you could be Zaftig and kick ass.
Right.
And I see now what a relief that was. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I see what a relief it was, because when the Kardashians came along, all of a sudden, the new model of woman wasn't, it was Paris Hilton before that. Mm-hmm. It was stick thin and blonde and white. And then the Kardashians came along and made big asses, and dark hair and all that sort of magnificent womanliness. Design it like, is it the apotheosis? Is that the word? But that was the acme of attainment. If you could be more woman rather than less, and I think that was the thing. So I think Xena was kind of sort of in that vein of what a relief to see a woman who has attainable qualities, traits. Mm-hmm.
I never looked at Xena and thought, yeah, I can be that, because it was just way too more amazing.
But you're very Gabrielle, aren't you?
Yeah. I looked at Joxer and thought I could be that.
That feels right.
We all had our characters we related to for sure.
But we could aspire to be like.
So we actually figured out, Lucy, that this weekend was supposed to be the 25th anniversary Xena convention.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sad that the world is that we can't all be celebrating that, because those creation conventions were, for me, the hub of getting to know the real fans. You know, the hardcore nutballs were there. And other conventions that I've done on rare occasions around the world, they're totally wonderful and sincere, but they're not the HCMBs, you know. And they know, they grew it. They grew that show, those women and men. They gave it its groove and its vibe.
Well, you know, you're talking about the conventions, the creation. They definitely were their own thing. I mean, like, for those of us who had been to so many, it became just more of a celebration of not only the show, but of each other and their friendships.
Yes.
And it was a reunion every year. It was great.
Totally. Yeah.
What was it like? Like, that first time, you know, you stepped out on that stage and people lost their minds. And was that just a, holy crap, what has happened to my life? Or just... Was it?
No, I think it felt like just I'm playing a role. This is just part of the role. It didn't really feel, it was part of my job. You just think it's, you think it's a normal part of it. It's not really to do with you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is the healthiest way to look at it, because it is. But but also very nice. It was very few times that where I went, oh, I'm super... you know, weirded out by this. So that was a rare occurrence.
What's the coolest perk you've ever gotten for someone recognizing you from Xena, or the first like big fun thing you got to do for, you know, once it became big?
Look, the coolest perk. I am not somebody who picks a lot of stuff. And I'm not a very object-orientated person, but there is just a few things that I kept. I'm looking down.
I love this.
Into my office here.
Like, walking through Lucy's
house. I like
house.
This door.
Well, but there's in here, up here by the light switch. This to me was like the coolest, nuttiest. Look, she's got a little plaid on her. Can you see that?
Oh, wait. We can't see where the camera's pointing. We see red.
Sorry. Oh, wait. Oh,
there you are.
I had my finger on the camera. Sorry. Oh, the whole time.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Awesome.
This woman, she's got little cheeks, little happy cheeks.
Adorable.
That's her whip. I mean, what a crazy. Anyway, just on rare occasions, people would show some nutty talent that
that's true. A lot of talent came out of those conventions. A lot of arts and crafts and
you know, little gifts of love. And I please send no gifts, please, I beg you, no gifts, because pictures of myself, very sweet and very kind. You're all very talented, but what am I supposed to go into? Shall I paper my house in there? I don't need any more of those. But thank you. You're all talented and gorgeous.
If you could give yourself, if you could make a phone call to your, late 20s self, you're about to start shooting Xena. You can call yourself. Knowing what you know now, would you give yourself any piece of advice?
I would have said do the movie.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would have said do the movie, because I was so burnt out and couldn't – I had lost perspective and, you know what, I might have had a concussion at the time too. You know, I had a lot of things going on and a few knocks sort of thing. And so anyway, that would have been the one thing I would say. Rest up, do the damn movie. and don't take it all so seriously. It doesn't matter. You'll work right. again. Life goes on.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. But I don't think I was probably 100% strong and healthy. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that was a show that took a lot out of you. That wasn't just you're standing around in a courtroom spouting legal jargon. That was a very physically demanding show. I can understand yeah. you needing the break.
Definitely. Well, especially for somebody who had no training and no talent in it. And that was just really mind over matter for doing it. Truly no natural aptitude for it. Just a willingness to like do as I was told.
Weird. You fooled us. So yeah,
good job.
Pretty convincing.
No. Hate it to this day. Hate action. Really hate sports. Like I have no feeling for it. It's yeah. on. I hear about rugby or league or something on TV. I just can't stand anything to do with it. I'm like huh? John Waters. What did he say? He's not an atheist. Did he say he's maybe he said I'm a sporting atheist. I don't believe in it. I see other people do and I see that people really love it, but I have zero can't relate to anything to do with it.
Wow. I mean, that's all that's the most, I'm sure most of your day on that show was punching people Excellent. And getting punched.
Yeah. There was lots of, well, not really. It's more like dance, which I also hate. But you just do it because that's the only way to get through the day. Just mm-hmm. And the better you get at it, the sooner the pain will be over. So that was my, but I sure loved all the acting.
Mm. Well, that being said about the physicality, now I'm just going to put this out there because I heard you talk about it on another podcast. If there was a Xena reboot that at the time when I listened, you sound like you would be up for and somewhat enthusiastic for. But if that were to ever come to pass, would it be a less? Here's the thing, like, would age come into play, do you think, in Xena? Like, would she be maybe less active, more thoughtful Xena? Or is it just Xena's timeless? She's going to kick ass wherever it comes up.
No, I think it would always be a handover to a younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It would be like mm-hmm. one of those Star Trek things. And you know what? That's fine with me because Xena was perfect as she was. I don't want to do a disservice to her.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, older people don't move the same. So that would just ruin things. That would just ruin things, I reckon.
Yeah.
But,
no,
you know, so much time has gone by. Lots of people have tried, you know, we've really tried in different ways, but I don't know. I give it over to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
Goddesses.
Yep. I was just going to mention My Life is Murder. We always have to say
it. Every time we talk about your show, that's how we have to say it because it feels murder. Right to say My Life is Murder. Murder. American accent doesn't work for that show.
Yeah. You know what? I made that. I met this girl, Claire. We're at Pride in Sydney and I had like an hour to spare. I said, yes, I will meet you. She pitched me this idea, but it was something about her. I was just like, you are the real deal. There's something about her that I went, I'm going to back you and put my name and take a chance, punt on you and your idea. Let's go build a team. And we made this little show. And also it was because I was sick of making things that were dark, sexual, violent. I just didn't want to do that anymore at that time. And I wanted a break from that. So then just do something that was good and kind and see if I could make this kind of a show. And so we made it. And I think especially in a post-COVID world, it kind of took off because the world, everybody is so, it's really quite traumatized and a little bit, they're living in fear. And to have something that is beautiful and kind of dependable with a bit of easy justice at the end of it, it's like a little holiday for your nervous system. And especially because there is no real justice out on television. You know, when we watch the news, we're all like wanting to guard our eyes out at the violence. And, you harm yourself just by watching it, actually. You've got to be careful how much negativity you put in your body, because how are we going to get through with love and dignity and grace and really flourish if we are putting poison in our bodies, and that is really like too much negativity, you know? So you've got to be careful what you expose yourself to and take little breaks from all technology, eat good food, love, be with your friends, make love. Love.
From a social distance, right?
Got to do it. For now.
We in New Zealand, we call it bubbles. Who's in your bubble? You know, you've got to keep your bubble really small. Do you use that terminology in America?
I think it has been.
Yeah, germ bubble. Yeah.
The germ bubble. Yeah. But it's quite good. So when you read emerge bubbles, you've got to really think about it, you know?
Got to be picky about who's in your bubble, who you're going to let in your bubble.
You do. How many people in your bubble? Oh, I've been going to work. My girlfriend goes to work at the warehouse, and I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to sit 10 feet apart or something, because we're not ready for that. We've just come out of level 3 lockdown. Now we can go out, but you have to wear masks and gloves.
Gloves.
Right.
Well, I do just. Because
why not?
Yeah.
And you know what? It actually doesn't hurt. The minute you adjust and go, oh, it's not so bad. And when you learn how to not fog your own glasses up.
Oh, right. Tell me how to do that, because I have no idea.
I think you have to have the glasses sitting forward. The mask has to be up higher on your nose and the glasses sitting forward so that you don't get all that condensation. Yeah. Because that's
totally kind of, move it just a little bit more forward. Makes a big difference.
Yeah. It and it's nice feeling that that you're safe because you've taken all the precaution, the reasonable precaution.
Sure. Yeah, well, we're all in LA. So luckily LA and California got on the ball pretty quick as far as telling people to wear masks, shutting things down. So
that's not what we're hearing. Well, the OC. I'm
more than a lot of other
areas
than
other places,
I'll
say. Yeah. The US as a whole is not doing well, but unfortunately.
Yeah. But, with My Life is Murder, do you think that there's going to be any word on if there's going to be a season 2?
Too early to say.
Okay.
It's not dead. It's not dead. But, you know, Melbourne's in a bit of a state at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm very positive on that front.
Yeah. I've got to say, I only started watching the show because you were on it. I didn't know what to expect. I love the show. By the time it was over, it had like a vibe. I like that you had this cool life and your apartment or flat or whatever they call it over there is cool. You had a cat. So I was already on board with that. And, I think the Madison, the assistant, she was great. Like the whole chemistry of the cast. I loved the show. So I really, really hope to see it come back at some point.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And Ebony is, she was the very last actress to come in for the role. And she, all the others were a little bit respectful of me, and she just wasn't. She just sort of barreled in. And, like, I'd go and into the room and greet them, and so they had already met me and we were already buddies by the time they came in the room, because you want to give them every chance to be amazing, you know, and it's amazing to see who just disintegrated in the room, probably because they wanted it too much, you know, but she just came in and was like, She was such a shit kicker. We were like, oh, she's the one. Because I was like, who do I want to be holding hands with, basically? You're that close to somebody physically all day for months and months and months. And it's like, that girl, I want that girl. So so I was very strenuously pushing her through the whole network approval system. It's like, basically, I didn't give him any choice.
Well, good call. She was fantastic.
Fantastic. And so fun and so talented and great.
I heard you mention in another podcast that before becoming an actor for real, you were playing. Like, it was play, and you would go out when you were young and play and do skits and pretend and all this. And acting is, I took some lessons back in the day, and my teacher always used to hit home. It's like, come on, man, this is acting. It's fun. I mean, it's not always 100% fun, but it's play. You're pretending. And do you still have that sense of play, or sometimes does the work business balance muddle up the play? Or,
you know, what really can mess it up is being too aware of producerial issues. That can really take all the fun out of it. But actors who have no awareness and no care for anybody else's job can often be better because they're entirely selfish.
You're in a blissful denial. That sounds wonderful.
Only they matter. Only they matter. Right? So only they and so that makes them really compelling, whereas, you know, I'm always hyper aware of everything that's going on, and that can sometimes be harmful. So I have to be careful of that.
So you're an executive producer on My Life is Murder. Did you enjoy, now that you're through that first season, did you enjoy having that dual role? Is it something you'll continue to do in the future?
Yes. Yeah, I really did, because it's about, I like to feel comfortable expressing my opinion, you know, so when you have that official role and to be part of the setup and crewing and problem solving. So I do like to be part of it, but in the acting it can be, you know, and when I'm shooting, I have to let that go a little bit because I can't be watching the casting. We had a very interesting thing with some Australian males. Are active. Australian male actors are roughly in two groups. So there'll be the Hemsworth types that go off to America and whatever, and then there'll be the local boys who never would leave and don't want to leave. But often they have this, that they talk so quietly that they'll mumble their lines. And as the executive, as an actress, I would not say anything, but as an executive producer, I'm like, psh, what the fuck? What the fuck are you mumbling on my show for? Because, you know what, people at home, the mic can only pick up what it can pick up. People at home will tolerate not being able to see you well, but they will not tolerate not being able to hear. So I don't want to have to re-loop this because it won't be as good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because of an insecurity. There's an insecurity in some of these boys where they just don't talk normally. And as an EP, I quite enjoy being able to go, dude, don't fuck my show up.
Like, don't be that guy.
Talk like a human being. In real life, you don't talk like this. In real life, you don't talk like this. You don't talk like this, hiding your light. Because you're so very artistic. It's like, just fucking say the word. I know. They're totally good people in every other way, you know, but that's like unacceptable for Lucy.
Were you also involved in doing notes on scripts or notes on cuts in post-production? How involved were you in the show?
I certainly could have. I had the energy to look at the cuts at the dailies. Once I've done my homework at night, then by all means I can say anything. Sometimes I win, sometimes I don't. And I don't mind that. I'm very used to being edited. What was the first thing you said? What was the first thing you asked?
Like notes on scripts?
I love that. I must say I'm not very good at it, but I am good at funny scenarios. And I am good at dialogue. So a lot of that stuff is actually just me. And also these writers, especially with My Life is Murder, they write for me. You know, now that we know one another, they're just, you know, they're just wonderful, wonderful fun. So if we get it up and going, it will be double the fun.
I feel like I heard, like, watching the season progress, I feel like I heard more of humor coming from your character. Like, maybe they got used to your style and your personality and started throwing some more.
Well, anytime I would ad-lib it, usually made the, which is very sweet of them, because they don't have to. They can go, no, stick to the script, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also me giving myself permission that once you understand the nature of the animal that the show is, where you can start to let yourself do that a little more. So I'm excited to think where we might go next.
Well, you are planning to be here in the spring for the Xena convention. Is that right?
Wait,
is that
when
tentatively
is the spring?
For
when
now?
Is the spring?
April.
Oh, April.
Mid-April, I believe the dates are.
The rescheduled
possibly
dates.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love to.
No, we're formally inviting you
on the spot. Yeah, don't worry.
Not
don't
very good dates.
Well, according to the website, you're going to be there.
Right.
Might want to make a phone call to verify that.
I can't do this. I'm doing that. You know, Minions comes out, so I'm supposed to be there for that. Oh. But who knows with the old COVID of it all, how they'll do publicity in future, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's
I want to meet Jean-Luc Van Damme. Jean-Luc.
I was like,
Picard's
Van Damme.
Brother?
Yeah.
We can edit that.
Is Jean-Claude Van Damme in Minions?
Yeah. What? He plays Jean-Claude. He's got this big claw. we're all villains. And I play Nuntruck, this kind of horrible Boston nun.
Perfect.
I'd like to meet Jean-Claude too. I've been a big fan of his since all this. I'm a big martial arts nerd.
What a character.
Yeah.
My husband made Hard Target with a couple of movies with him in the 80s. And then Rob showed me he's doing a video for some French, I can't remember if it's hip hop or some music video that Jean-Claude just did. And I thought, how great is it that some people keep getting second and third chances, you know, to just evolve. I like that because we all want to see ourselves reinvent, you know, just keep living, keep creating. You don't have to do the same thing. Just keep changing shape. So I find that quite inspirational.
Well, sorry, I was holding a cough back. Apologize. I was trying to like hold it.
Well done, Wendy.
Trying to drink the water.
Hey, are you doing something? Are you all in LA? You look like you're all in LA. Those are LA houses.
Yeah. Totally.
We are.
Yep. Well, I'm in Santa Clarita technically, so.
Close enough.
I don't know. That counts.
Is there anything about LA that you miss, Lucy?
Oh, I miss my friends. I miss the illusion that we all believed in. You know what I love about LA people is that they're very searching. Very hardworking. You know, people don't understand this. They think LA is sort of this fake Hollywood idea that people have is actually not seldom true. You can find that kind of stupidity, but all those people are on Botched this week. everybody else is really hardworking technicians and always searching, always trying to look after their health and their well-being and their creativity. I think they're really so many good people there.
Yeah. And it really, being here, it almost forces you to do things you never thought that you would, because sometimes you do what you got to do to get by to do, you know,
that, an you know,
then it ends up being something awesome.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a great question, Lucy. Let's see. I went to a Xena convention. I never thought I would do that, honestly, to be honest with you. I thought that was a little cray-cray. But I went and I had a great time. And, you know, my life was changed because I said, you know, I'm a,
I'm just going to go.
I'll do it.
See what this is about. And man, that
where are you
it
from,
took off.
Originally? Where were you born?
Texas.
See, a lot of people are from somewhere else, but
right.
It really be really there. Yeah. And it's hard.
Texas
to,
people out here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think LA is quite a special place. I don't care what people, you know, people have a completely wrong vision of what it is. Hmm. But yeah, miss you guys.
Yeah.
Come back. We have a spare room.
Come back. April.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fair, yeah,
apparently.
Don't
April. Forget. Don't forget.
April what?
Are you going to write it in your calendar right now?
April, what is the creation month?
I feel like it's the 16th through the 18th. I'm our research department. I'm researching that at this moment.
I'm scrolling. It might be in my calendar.
I can't type right.
That's really
Sharon Delaney from Creation has written to me a letter of wants me to do something for her. It must be about this weekend. Mm. So I will gladly do that.
Lucy, it looks like you're up April 16th through 18th, 2021.
Thank you.
Write that down.
I've got it.
Well, it's been
we'll
about
send you a
half an hour.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we need to talk about?
We could talk to you about anything forever, so it's a hard question to ask. There's just so much, your whole life has been so amazing, and just, I like, you know, when you get to know a person because they play a character you adore, you don't know what they're like, and you end up being this way cool person who's just got this outlook on life of like, yeah, have fun, enjoy it.
We better, because it's the only thing that's within our control, unless you have, you know, you suffer from depression or something that's not like you have a lot of choice in that, but what we put our focus on is often within our control, and how we can turn towards one another, towards the people who are around us, and just love them better and laugh more. And yeah, I think good food, good drink, good health. And I bought that Danish book, you know, the art of the little Danish hygge. Life, H-Y-G-G-E, and it kind of says it all. It's about simplicity. It's about egalitarianism. It's about deliciousness. It's about handcrafts and beautifying your immediate environment and small thing. You know, it's all within our control, because unless you're extremely poor and do not have shelter and do not have food, we have choice in these things. So. Yeah, beautify your immediate environment in ways that feeds your soul.
That's why I put chocolate all over the house.
Yes!
I can find it anywhere.
You started. You know what? Since I've been eating chocolate as part of my hygge life, it doesn't bother me. It's like I no longer stop myself. I have it. I really enjoy it. I swear I eat less of it, but... You take all that stigma. It's like prohibition doesn't work, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work for the human psyche or something. So enjoying things with all the pleasure you can suck out of a chocolate bar.
Right. Lick the wrapper.
I do. Yeah. I'll show you what I. Okay, I was worried about being late for our appointment, but I was like, okay, it's 11:37. I've got to be on the phone at 12. I'll just run down to the French bakery, and I got all these, you know, the pain au
revoir.
This is an almond one.
Wow.
I've got
pain au revoir. She's showing us delicious looking breads.
Oh my god!
Wow.
I'm not supposed to eat wheat, but once in a while, I just go. I don't care. I'm having it.
I feel like I live by that motto too much.
Yeah, I enjoy that motto very much.
No, not too much. Enjoy. Yeah.
Just enough, right?
Just right.
I definitely appreciate that, you know, not taking yourself too seriously, doing things you wouldn't normally do and just enjoying it. Like when Kat, another example, when Kat said, hey guys, do you want to do this podcast? I don't know. And I thought, I've never thought about doing a podcast. And I said yes, and we are here now talking with you. So I think it was pretty good. It worked out.
So you talk all kinds of nerd things. Tell me what you talked about last week, and what are you going to talk about next week?
we've been talking a lot about Wynonna Earp. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a show on Sci-Fi right now.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a lot of that because it's tonight, actually.
Did they bring it back or is it?
They did. Big deal. Yeah. So today it's the mid-season finale.
Yep.
So we're going to have a separate special review podcast of that.
and did they do a new season or did they just replay it?
New season. Yeah, it started. Yeah, so they split it up because they had to stop filming because of COVID. So they showed the first six episodes starting, you know, about a month and a half ago. And then they're going to show the next six, not till 2021, we just found out.
Yeah.
So they're making us wait a little longer, but we're just thankful for that season. Because again, that's that power of the fans that, you know, you get behind a show. And this is, we often can compare the Wynonna Earp fans with the Xena fans because the Xena fans were the original group to really get behind a show and push it forward.
They tried to get me to play her mother, I think, or something.
I think there was a lot of fan support for that.
Yes. Thank you. They did offer it to me and I was doing something else at the time. I couldn't.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a chance, you should definitely get on it. But
I'm excited for them that they have pulled it off because it is hard to stay on the air these days, you know. So, and good for you, fans, for making that possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those Xena fans really paved the way for all.
Yeah. I feel like we were the pioneers in that.
They knew their power, you know.
Okay, here's my question. How are Xena fans or Wynonna Earp fans different from Star Trek fans?
Ooh.
Here's my thought. Mm-hmm. Star Trek, because I find this all, you know, you always have the Star Wars, Star Trek battle. And I think that it kind of applies to like Xena Earp fans too. Star Trek is such a cerebral kind of show,
it's heady.
Which is cool. Yeah, that's a lot of very heady. I could never get into it. I was a Star Wars baby. I feel like Wynonna, Xena, they're more kind of just from a like emotional, from your gut action kind of thing. It's not saying they're not smart. It's just a different, like, Star Trek.
Right.
I'm sorry, all the Star Trek fans that I'm saying this, but it's like a lot of people talking about things a lot, science-y wise, and occasionally there's some action. But I don't know. There's just, like, a difference, and I feel like...
You can relate more to the characters that you see in Xena or Wynonna Earp.
I can.
You think, they're like, you know, again, just sense of humor. It's more fun. It's how you deal with when drama does come along, and it feels more relatable to me, whereas Star Trek, I can appreciate for what it is for sure, just as a nerd in general, but it definitely takes it to another level, Xena and Wynonna Earp.
And there's also an emotional, I feel that a lot of emotions, you know, run through Xena and Wynonna Earp. I just don't feel that sort of emotional draw to Star Trek stuff at all.
Right. Do you think that the Battlestar fans are more like Star Trek too, not just because of the space element, but because of the cerebral?
I feel like it's
almost a more male way of relating to one another, rather than an animalistic human.
I think Battlestar did it really well with forming those strong emotional connections to the characters. I think there's a lot of, you know, and nothing against Star Trek. I don't want to offend anyone. Appreciate Star Trek for everything. It's, you know, but they did a really great job. And I mean, I really enjoyed Battlestar Galactica and it drew me in to the relationships in a way that Star Trek didn't for me. So
I think it appealed to both types of fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it had another strong female characters on there, especially Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica that again, that Star Trek doesn't have as in your face.
You're going to make some Star Trek fans.
I know. I'm not trying. I appreciate some Star Trek. I watch it. But, you know?
I know. I've noticed that people on podcasts and YouTube these days always are saying, in my opinion, because apparently you have to like have this in lights over your head. Apparently, I guess people get all angry that you should dare opine as if truth. But it doesn't really bother me, I must say. I actually love, even if I don't agree with them, when people say something that is true, especially if it's funny, like I love it. It just tickles me pink. You know, I don't have to agree with them. I just like people to be authentic. So,
A lot of times we don't agree with each other, the three of us, on something that we enjoyed or, you know, and especially as we talk about a wide array of nerdy things and with a focus more on the LGBTQ side of things, but it does come up a lot as far as, oh, I really enjoyed this, or I can get into that. Different things that people connect to is very interesting.
Yeah. And we're very polite. We're very polite, yes. The three of us.
Yeah, we try.
We're very respectful of one another, and we don't try to upset each other.
We're not here to the gotcha podcast. We're not.
Yeah, that's good. You know, you see it in politics where we all want everybody just to agree with us, but actually you don't want to live in that society. You want to live in a pluralistic society. To extrapolate out from what you're talking about, that you want a society that can allow us all to be different and yet to get on in a very civilized manner, because the rugged individual is not technically the whole organism. The whole community, the city, is the organism, and that's why we're all so different and our brains operate differently, because there are so many functions. It's like, well, those people... Okay, all the accountants are kind of like the kidneys. They're there to filter out all the the numerical problems. And you people are the lungs, and you people are, you know, we need everybody's brains at full, healthy operation so that the whole organism can be healthy. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, that's my little thing on the pluralistic society. And comprehending different.
Seems like you can definitely disagree and have different opinions and different ways people think they should go about them. But just lately, it's if you don't think my way, you're evil and I must destroy you online or in person, or my opinion means so much to me that I have to destroy yours for it to have any weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Frustrating.
Just on you, really. Just crap on you. And I noticed that in myself. I look at that in myself, and because I have friends who vote very differently to me, and it upsets me. But I would have no friends, and anyway, it's important just because they're still good people.
Yeah,
they just vote differently, you know, and that's sometimes we don't want to accept that, but it is true.
Yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes.
It's a bad ass pill.
Yeah. Well, we've got to say yes. I don't say no to watching any show at this point if someone recommends it to me, because I've been burned before by saying no to stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll watch it. Let's go there. Let's do that. That sounds
Lucy, are you watching anything right now? Is there anything on TV that you...
I'm not really. And when I'm down country, I don't even have a TV. So, but I do, you know, I'm a true crime nut.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So there's this guy called True Crime Loser who just makes me howl with laughter. I even support him on Patreon because he's hysterical. Anyway, I watched True Crime Loser and he just shows his funny observation, goes quite deep into cases that I know really well.
Mm.
But I am moving away from the dark. I must say the world is too dark for me to be, you know, the world is ripe for conspiracy theories at the moment. And boy, it's some really nasty, not rabbit holes, they're wormholes, boy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They will stress you at all that doom scrolling sort of thing. Yeah. it's a real whoop, whoop, beware. Anyway, I love True Crime Loser. He was grim.
Nice.
Yeah, what was the show you were going to ask about, Kat, on HBO? The
I'll Be Gone in the Dark, Golden State Killer.
Oh,
have you seen that? Yeah. Have you seen that? Have you seen that at all?
D'Angelo. Oh no, what a nasty old man, eh? Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that one.
The way that they present it. It's a beautifully shot. It's a very well done docuseries.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's check it out.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Probably not if you're trying to stay towards the light. I mean, right. It's probably a little dark.
Maybe save it.
But well done.
It's addicting.
Yeah.
I like to visit the wiki page for Unsolved Mysteries and looked at the solved cases that have been solved since Unsolved Mysteries originally aired in the 80s and 90s. It's kind of mind blowing, and it becomes so addicting. And then, you know, because now things that you didn't know what happened to them, now they solved it, and they've got this whole page figured that's fascinating. So
wow,
I recommend that if you're bored. But again, it's very dark. It can get very dark, but
because I hate watching cold cases where there's no justice at the end, because it just leaves a horrible brick on your back. Like something needs to happen about that,
right?
But that's cool that they've got, they're posting, you know, solutions to.
Well, I feel like we've taken more than 30 minutes of your time. But,
so I would cut you off the show and I can, you know, get a stupid sewing machine. And, I've got to have a little disaster on the farm and I've got to go back down there, and it's a bad week for me to leave town. But just got to do these things when you are a farmer like me. Just shit goes wrong, you know. It's like, oh, hang on, the contractor went out there and he bowled over the wrong building. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know, the neighbor's house has been bowled over, you say? Oh my god,
wow.
The wool shed.
You planting things, animals? Yeah, what's on this farm?
No. There's I'm planting things, but the neighbor put his cows in there, and they cause, which is fine, but they cause all sorts of trouble, man. Bobby calves are such trouble, and because they're all dying for grazing, they're all like, who's grazing your driveway? And I'm like, I already promised that. Sorry. Anyway, so there's long-standing agreements with the guy who used to own the land with the farmers, so I allow that to continue. And but anyway, Bobby can't such terrors, so I've got to go down there and like build fences and just stuff.
But your daily life sounds amazing. You don't need a TV. You've got enough life.
When I'm down there, you guys, I like this house literally has buckets. I have buckets and ice cream containers and things where the roof, you know, lives. And there's not a single window that is fit for purpose. They either are broken or they don't open or they don't close. And this is a cold ass part of the world, right? Don't close, or they are but two pieces of plastic gaffer taped fore and aft in this, what space of what used to be a window, right? And I know the gaffer tape's coming off, so I better go down. Otherwise, one gust of wind is going to just blow this bloody place away. And but I've started like painting it because I'm a mad. It makes me happy, so I've started painting it like crazy colors. And the farmers just look at me, "Oh, what are you painting it for?" Like they're paid because I'm wasting time and money on this place that's going to be demolished. But it makes me happy, and I was in quarantine down there, so I had nothing to do, you know. But I've got to get
you
up
painted
on
the
roof.
Outside.
No, you I'm did painting, the outside. I will, like, I've done the door and the surrounds, but I mean, really, it's so rotten. There's, but I'm
it actually sounds
inside.
Fun.
Oh, it's so charming and so funny, but full of vermin and. But I think because I've lived such a privileged life, it's really quite pleasurable to me. Like it amuses the hell out. And the worst, the store. Okay. You know what is holding in? Because I went to paint the window, some of the windows, and I was like, oh, is that moss and stuff? I better get the wire brush. So I got the wire brush and gave a scrub. You know what's holding the windows in? Moss and slugs on the ground. Now, there are slugs on the inside of my windows. And I'm like, I dropped the wire brush and went, shit, man, you have them all back. You know?
Wow.
I don't have those panes of glass in. So, no, I didn't put them back. But that is the level of dereliction of my little house. So for some reason, I just find it really funny and really...
Well, that is a project.
Sounds refreshing, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
And you're away from everything... urban, you know, you've really got to parcel out your food. And I was supposed to be going down there with a girlfriend, and so Rob very kindly packed up this crate of really great wine. And in the end, she didn't come, and so I still had this crate of wine, and now I was in lockdown. The whole city was in lockdown, so I couldn't come back. So I had a really great time cutting up that tree,
open a bottle of wine, sit up on the hill with the blackberry's got like thorns like big roses, like it's the nastiest, most noxious weed, right? And you'd have to dig it every little tendril out. But I would just have a lovely time and then cutting it into tiny little pieces with a pair of secateurs. It's heavenly. Just go really, really simple, you know?
Well, knowing what New Zealand looks like in general, wherever this place is, it's, I'm guessing it has an amazing view, an amazing setting, and even if it's got slugs holding the windows in, you know, I'm sure it's still very peaceful and relaxing. And
I wish I had a photograph of the slugs. I have got some of them also by the other windows, but the slugs really just took the cake, man. But the more like that it is, the more I like it. It's just awesome. Hysterical.
That does sound therapeutic.
You know what I'm building? You know what I'm building this week?
What?
I'm building a copper coil to go into a bathtub, and I've got to drill holes and get the right fittings now that we're out of lockdown three, level three, and to make a wood fire, like a fire, a hot tub outside. So you get an old bathtub and drill holes in it and get the copper coils, build a fire. It's going to be amazing. So that's
that sounds potentially very dangerous.
Are you?
I hope you have step by. That sounds a coil and a tub and a hot tub. Boom. That sounds
it's
scary.
Like oil. What do you mean, boys?
A coil. The coil. The copper coil.
No.
Electricity. And
no, that's the convection carries the water up the copper coil and back into the bathtub, so it just circulates.
Yeah, Wendy, it's science.
Fire and heat.
It's science. Yeah.
Yeah, you can find everything, how to do everything on YouTube.
Yeah, if there's a step-by-step on YouTube, we can, yeah.
Amazing, how to make your own bar. I mean, wow. I could just buy one, but where's the fun in that?
I feel so lazy now, not creating things like my own hot tub.
Homesteading. Super fun.
The things you learn in quarantine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The new skills.
I bake sourdough like a son of a bitch.
Yeah. Just, did you nail it on the first try? Or did it take a few?
It might have taken a couple. No, it's always delicious. Yeah, no. Anyone can nail it. But I do the no-need variety, also from YouTube. Lots of great people on YouTube. In fact, anything you want to do, like how do I change the battery in this fob of my car?
I just did that. He just did it.
Yeah.
Yes, I have to look it up.
Done a video of how exactly to do it. Yeah. God bless
that. Yep.
Absolutely.
That's the only way I knew how to do it. The exact car key fob thing. Yep.
Yes.
I used it recently to install a bidet. It was
nice.
Didn't know that, but now I know how to install one. In case
you mean one of those Japanese ones that you just add to your loop?
They just shoot up.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. The pressure wasn't quite right at first. It was like either too little or way too much. Kind of blast you back. Nah. But
you'll need to get a pulsating one. Yeah.
Oh. Is that still called a bidet or is that?
That's something else.
You know, I went to Africa and I was very, one of the most, the best things I took away from it was in places where you have no water, as sometimes on my farm, I do have no hot water, by the way. But when there is no water, what they use for keeping clean and sterilizing things is ash. So that is, I guess, very alkaline or something, and it's very cleansing. And the way soap works is it's alkaline, so it breaks the bonds between your hands and soap. And ash does the same thing. I think there's one other ingredient that they could add, but I can't recall. You've got to look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
But it's other ways to make toilets and things. You can just use ash on your stick.
Lucy, I think you should have your own podcast.
Yeah.
Our YouTube channel with Lucy.
Farm Life. There you go.
Ash bidet. I get this old vacuum cleaner. I put it in reverse.
Life hacks.
Amazing. That's genius.
Yeah. You're in quarantine. You got all the time in the world. YouTube channel.
How to make shoes out of plastic bags. Nothing has to be single use any longer.
No.
Definitely not.
Okay. Well,
I'm not doing quarantine right.
We have fixed the world.
The slugs can get their day in the on camera that they deserve. The sun,
yeah. I saw one doing these little curly whirly patterns at the bottom of the sink. I was like, oh no, you don't, Buster. You can get back out of that window.
Oh yeah. Trying to escape.
That pain ain't gonna hold itself.
You're on the job.
Get to work, slug.
Yeah. Slug. Yes.
Wow, we've covered so much during this podcast. I
never thought we'd get to bidets and slugs.
Very educational.
No.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. We had to get to bidets eventually.
That's where it was headed from the start.
Inevitable.
Oh, that's quite impressive, though. Was that kind of easy?
What, to put the bidet?
Yeah, you know, that stick-on bidet thing.
It was getting the pressure right, there's a couple of things you have to hook up in between. You have to take the original thing off and then put on a new thing, and you have to adjust the pressure. Yeah. It was tough. It took a couple hours. The YouTube video said it was going to take like 20 minutes, but it took a lot longer than that.
Okay. And, but you know what? Yeah. 2 hours is quick. That's great.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Now and you have the cleanest fanny in the street.
Very effective.
You should find out. You could hang a shingle.
I'm offering my services if anyone needs installation.
We all have our skills. I know how to install a stripper pole in a house.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Wow.
I had a neighbor who was a pole dancer, or a roommate, and helped her install a couple of practice poles. She was very talented.
I'm sure she was.
That's just hard.
It is hard. You have to be very strong to do all the things she did. Hanging on that pole.
And yet somehow it's so not desirable as an exercise form, is it? No, I don't want to do that.
No.
I just look like I'm flopping around like a fish. I don't think it would be at all sexy.
Fish on a pole.
Yeah, fish. No one wants to see that.
Okay, well, we nailed it.
Boy, this is...
Yep, let's see, we got slugs, yep, bidet, and stripper poles. Yeah, we got them all.
Check
all the topics.
All right,
Lucy, we cannot thank you enough for coming on this podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me, for having me.
Of course. Wow. And you know, when Wendy nailed it when she said, you know, the show changed all of our lives, and you know, it's true. It's why Wendy's in LA, and it's why we're all here together. So
amazing.
You know, I'm sure that's not lost on you, but thank you on behalf of all your fans for being such a great role model and a great person. And so, yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Pam. Lovely to know you, girls.
Go get your sewing machine.
Trying to spotlight.
Yeah, get to sewing.
We'll see you in April.
Okay, in April. Bye now.
So that's Lucy Lawless. I think that went well. Yeah.
That was ridiculously awesome.
She is fun to hang out with.
You know, it's like you feel like you can talk to her about everything and it's just still not enough because there's just so much just fun, like just hanging out, chatting with the woman. She's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had 30 minutes with her. It ended up being about an hour. And yeah, she gave us a lot of her time and that was amazing. It's Lucy fucking Lawless. Like, what are you going to say?
She kicks the ass out of a farm.
Yeah, she does. Dude,
she does
fascinating. Anything.
She's handy. She just like kicks ass everywhere.
Yep.
Right? You know, it's she's turned out to be somebody that is so refreshing. And you know, and one of the questions I didn't get to, like, I was curious to, like, when you have a role like Xena at the beginning of your career, you know, does it take some of the pressure off to, like, hey, I've done this thing that most actors never get a chance to live, this crazy, ridiculous character, legend, and stardom, and all this,
right?
And it's like, hey, I can relax. You know, I've acting is, you know, there's no pressure to, like, get that role that makes it. You know, and I don't know if that's part of the reason that she's just got this cool, chill attitude, or it's just maybe that attitude is what led to her being so successful in the first place and getting the part. You know, but she's a very refreshing person for sure, and I think it's the Kiwi too. Because Kiwis are awesome.
For sure.
Laid back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yay. That was awesome. I'm just, you know, it's very cool.
I don't think I've processed it.
Life
really.
Has come full circle.
Yeah. It?
I mean, do we continue cool. this podcast now? Is that it? We're just going to be done?
Well, I mean, we only know each other from Xena, so
what's left?
Wow. Yeah. No, I'm enjoying the podcast. I think I'm going to stick around.
Okay, cool. I mean, we might as well. Cool. Okay.
Okay. I don't know how you wrap that up. Other than, you know, if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Snopodcast.
With 1D. And on Instagram and Facebook, it is She Nerds Out Podcast.
And you can send us an email to shenerdsout@gmail.com. Did you enjoy Lucy on the Snop?
Write us and tell us how Lucy and Xena has changed your life and what, you know, cool things that brought you to say yes to and try and what it led to.
Exactly.
And the ways it affected you.
And we're in the entire month of September. We are celebrating Xena and the fandom around it. So
right.
That's right, Tara. Great idea. Send us, you know, let us know how Xena affected you. Funny convention stories, anything to help us celebrate this whole month. Please do it. We want to hear from you. You know, if you could leave us a review, that's great. Give us a good rating. We'd appreciate it too.
We suffer through interviews with people like Lucy Lawless for you. So.
That's right. You're welcome.
Which obviously is the opposite of suffering, but mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, that was a serious, ridiculous dream. So.
Yeah.
All right. I really got nothing else to add. So
yeah, that's
fine. It.
Yeah. All right. On that note. She nerds out.
She nerds out. We're girls that like girls that like nerdy things.
Nerdy things.
I bake sourdough like a son of a bitch.